You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. To try it today, go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. On today's show, I'm going to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. I've already mentioned throughout this season when the Mets are playing the Rays and as we've kind of gotten into the postseason, how much I appreciate the Rays and their analytically driven franchise. I've talked about the defensive shifts and everything else. What I want to focus on today is some of the trades they made to build a World Series contending roster. In the first half of the show, I'll look at how they built a bullpen a little bit, some of the moves they made there, and also how they found a gem in Randy Arozarena. Then later on in the second half, I want to spend a lot of time talking about the terrible Chris Archer trade that the Pittsburgh Pirates made. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizedOnline.com. So looking at the Rays, they have found players that are kind of great at certain traits, right? And they know that if we get this player in our system, in our organization, they can flourish. One of them, when it comes to their bullpen guys, is looking at strikeouts, or one of the things they look for is for strikeouts, right? So they identified Nick Anderson in 2019, who was pitching on the Marlins bullpen, as a guy that they really believe in. They make a trade, getting Nick Anderson and Trevor Richards for Jesus Sanchez and Ryan Stanek. Now, Sanchez is an outfielder that is still considered a top 100 prospect in baseball. That's pretty much consensus across the board. He made his debut this year, didn't hit well, but very, very limited sample size. So we'll see what Sanchez turns into before you would really evaluate the trade. But Nick Anderson has been amazing. This guy had a 3.92 ERA with the Marlins in 2019. He had 69 strikeouts and 43 and two-thirds innings pitched heading into that deadline. The Rays make a trade for him. He ends up with a 2.11 ERA down the stretch last year, with 41 strikeouts in just 21 and a third innings pitched. This season, he's been even better. A 0.55 ERA with 26 strikeouts in just over 16 innings pitched. And here's a crazy stat. His whip, which of course is walk hits over innings pitched, was 0.49. So he was allowing half a base runner per inning. That is just dominant stuff from Nick Anderson. Now, the other pitcher they got in that deal was Trevor Richards. He was very good for them in 2019, was bad this year, isn't even on the postseason roster, but it comes down to Anderson. Under team control for four more years, still has a year left before he even hits arbitration. That's a great deal. Another pitcher in their bullpen right now is Pete Fairbanks. This is a guy with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, has been great for them, and they acquired him at the deadline in 2019. They identified this guy despite the fact that his ERA at the big league level was 9.35. Limited sample, but still, they saw the strikeouts, they saw the heater, they identified they wanted him, so they trade Nick Solak to the Rangers to get him. Now, Solak is a second baseman, was really good in 2019 once he got promoted to the Rangers' major league roster. This year, he really struggled. Overall, he has a 747 OPS and nearly 400 plate appearances. Could he turn into a player? Absolutely. But for the Rays, when they have Brandon Lau, an all-star, playing second base for them already. They didn't need this guy. He wasn't going to help them win in the short term. They make a one-for-one trade, get back a reliever in Fairbanks that they believed in. This year, Fairbanks has really delivered for them, 39 strikeouts and just over 26 innings pitched. As I mentioned, 100-mile-per-hour heater, gotten some big outs in the playoffs so far, has a 2.70 ERA on the season. Now you get to the biggest trade that the Rays made, acquiring Randy Arozarena and Jose Martinez from the Cardinals. Now, Jose Martinez came with this stature. He had an 80 RBI season, had a lot of time in the big leagues, could have been a player, doesn't work out in Tampa. They end up trading him to the Cubs, essentially just get rid of him for two players to be named later or cash considerations at the deadline. But it is Randy Arozarena who has turned into the superstar for them. Suddenly, this could be a franchise cornerstone. He hit .281 with a .382 on base percentage and a .641 slugging percentage during the regular season over 23 games. Had 7 home runs. And we talk about OPS plus or weighted runs created plus, the stats that measure a hitter based on a league average of 100. He had a 179 OPS plus. That's telling you he is giving you really quality at bats. Comes into the postseason, has been a lightning rod for them. Hit 3 home runs in the ALDS against the Yankees. They do not win that series without this guy. Through his first 43 playoff at-bats, and this was coming into Game 3 tonight, he was hitting .385 with a .442 on-base percentage, a .795 slugging percentage, and an OPS well over 1,000. That guy is going to be a superstar, it looks like. What'd they give up to get him? Well, they gave up Matthew Liberatore and Edgardo Rodriguez. And these are both prospects that the Cardinals are very happy with. And they could be big contributors down the line. Liberatore was the 16th overall pick in the 2018 draft. It's a left-handed starting pitcher who Baseball America had ranked at number 42 coming into this year. So that is a really good pitching prospect. And also Edgardo Rodriguez is a 19-year-old catcher who has some really good numbers in his limited minor league action. He has not passed rookie ball yet, obviously would have this year if not for COVID canceling the minor league season. So they gave up some really good prospects, but you got a guy that looks like a superstar. So that's a win-win. Also, they moved up in the draft. They swapped their comp balance B pick for the Cardinals comp balance A pick. So with all that to be said, there are a ton of guys on this Rays roster you could have dug into. I mean, they have been so smart, and it's their ability to find value in players that other organizations either don't value, or it's constructing a roster. It's taking all the information available to you and finding the players within the cracks. This is a lot deeper than, oh, JD Davis is a former top prospect who hasn't hit well the last couple years, but has a high exit velo. Let's throw a flyer at him. You know, this is generating a team with a lot of foresight. How do they fit defensively? How do they fit offensively? What can we improve about them? And I think this is the type of thinking that can really turn a franchise into a perennial contender, and they're doing it in Tampa on a shoestring budget. So what you're hoping is with Steve Cohen's pledge to invest in the analytics and get a bunch of guys in there to run all this and crunch the numbers and find the players you want to build this team, the Mets will be better moving forward and better positioned to capitalize on all these avenues to get better with a bigger budget than they have in Tampa. That's where you get to the East Coast Dodgers thing that I think we're all going to be throwing out as much as possible as we all try to speak this into existence, because I think that's what we all hope the Steve Cohen era looks like. Now, when we get back in just a minute, I want to talk about the Chris Archer trade, which turned out to be terrible for the Pirates and great for the Tampa Bay Rays. Built Bar is back with 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors, including the Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars, coming covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too. Coming low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. So Chris Archer had an amazing start to his career with the Tampa Bay Rays. He was their ace very early on. Had 3 years at the start of his career with a sub-3.4 ERA. In 2015, the third of those 3 years, he finished fifth in the Cy Young voting, had a 3.23 ERA, and had 252 strikeouts in 212 innings pitched. He then went on to have two more seasons of over 200 innings pitched and 200 strikeouts, although his ERA began to tick up. In 2016, he actually led the American League in losses with 19. He had a 9-19 record. Usually you don't care about the wins and losses, but when you see that many losses, it does kind of pop out to you. In 2018, he makes 17 starts for the Rays, pitches to a 4.31 ERA, and then is traded to the Pirates at the deadline. Now there's a couple interesting aspects of the Archer trade, and the first one is the great contract the Rays signed him to. After his rookie year, they signed Archer to a 6-year extension worth $25.5 million. But there was also two team options of $9 million for the 2020 season and $11 million for the 2021 season. So for the Pirates, they were getting 3 years of team control if they wanted it. The total contract value for Chris Archer was an 8-year deal worth $43.75 million. And this shows you how you can exploit the arbitration system and the first 3 years of control where you can pay these guys just $500,000 and really get them to sign a contract that is team friendly. He would have gotten $500,000 early on in his career, and instead he made $4 million during two of those years combined. So that to him is, wow, I'm making $4 million as opposed to $1 million. That's huge for me right now. But on the back end, the Rays get this great value of being able to trade him right at the tail end of his prime and into his decline and get a huge haul in return. Now, another aspect of this trade is the fact that the Pirates just should not have been buying. They were 56-52 at the time, 6 games back in the division and the wild card. They make this move. Ultimately, Archer does fine, pitches to a 4.30 ERA, but they finish 82-79, 13 games back in their division, and 8 back in the wild card. So it was kind of pointless. Last year, Archer pitched to a career worst 5.19 ERA, and in January, he underwent thoracic outlet syndrome, which is what ended Matt Harvey's career, essentially. That is a really hard surgery to come back from. So now, Archer's at a point where I doubt the Pirates pick up his team option for $11 million. They're likely going to go through the buyout, which is only $250,000. And he's off their books, but they gave up so much to get him. And that's where we get to how the Rays just fleece them. First off, looking back with hindsight, Tyler Glasnow has been a better pitcher than Archer over the time since they've been traded. And he was one of the guys that got in that deal. Glasnow dealt with some injuries that limited him to just 12 starts in 2019. But overall, he's made 34 starts for Tampa, has a 3.32 ERA with a strikeout per nine rate of 12 and a whip of 1.036. All of those numbers are superior to when he was with Pittsburgh. So whether they identified something they could switch in this game or whatever it is, they've turned Glasnow into a better pitcher since he has been on their team, and he's under control for 3 more years after this season. Then you get to Austin Meadows. The guy looked like a 5-tool outfielder in 2019 when he was an all-star. He hit .291 with a .364 on base percentage, a .558 slugging percentage, had 33 home runs, 89 RBIs, an OPS of .922, and a .144 OPS+. This year he struggled, had a down season, but the Rays have him under control for four more seasons. It was a 60-game schedule this year. There's every chance he bounces back and is an all-star again. Those two players alone would have been plenty. Yet, the Rays also got Shane Baz, a consensus top 100 prospect in baseball right now, who pitched to a 2.99 ERA in 17 starts at A-ball last year. He's only 21 years old. He was the 12th overall pick in the draft in 2017 out of high school. Who knows? He could be a great pitcher in their rotation in a few years. So that was a home run trade for the Tampa Bay Rays. And their ability as a front office to work within their budgetary restrictions and find players that can step in and make themselves perennial contenders, it's something that is really admirable. They might not win every single season like the Dodgers or the Yankees, where they just every year churn out a playoff appearance or a winning year every single time, because their margin for error is a little bit thinner. They can't go into free agency and clean up some mistakes they've made and sign at the top end. Their biggest free agent signing over the last couple years has been Charlie Morton, a guy deep into his 30s that signed a reasonable contract for them that was a starting pitcher that could anchor their rotation from his veteran presence and giving them quality offerings, but wasn't a necessary ace. They try to create aces in a guy like Glasnow, and Blake Snell is someone who they built up through their organization who has won a Cy Young, and they continue to dip into their farm and find players that can plug holes, or they go outside their organization and make smart trades. And even if it's a player who can't really hit, like a Mike Zunino, he gives them great value as a defensive catcher behind the plate. So they do these things and they plug these holes, and it is an amazing effort for them to continually put themselves in a position to compete when they're in the same division as the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have spent far more and can go out and get a guy like Gerrit Cole from the Yankees, who I believe I saw made, or his contract, which is $324 million, was the same amount or a little bit more than the Rays had spent on their payroll in the last five seasons. Like, that is ridiculous. So hats off to the Tampa Bay Rays organization. What you want to see with the Mets is their ability to practice some of the same principles with the big checkbook that can go out and sign a JT Realmuto in free agency to widen that margin of error. And I think that's what Steve Cohen's Mets will hopefully look like. On tomorrow's show, I want to talk about a big trade target that's been floated, Francisco Lindor. What could it take to get him? And is it worth it to make a trade for a shortstop that is nearing 30? We'll get into all of that tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked on Mets.